to Everyday Money Matters, your favorite financial advisory program. Do be reminded, though, EMM is a financial literacy program, and as such, answers to questions should not be considered as financial advice, but merely the opinions of our guests. Kindly consult your financial advisor for your personal, business, financial-related issues. Now that we have that out of the way, if you have matters with money, then you have to listen to Everyday Money Matters, all right? Do call into the show if you have questions for our money team, all right? The numbers to call, 0809-191-3913 and 0809-234-5913. Do try these landline numbers. There's 2802913 and 2803913. Also on social media at Lagos Talks 913 at Naira Metrics with your questions now. Of course, we got the money team in the building. Ugo Dre, Ugo Obijuku.
Did you just start my name?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about something else.
Really?
I'm not going to tell you what. Ugo Dre Obijuku, good morning. What's going on?
Good morning, Sadiq. Good morning, Lagos.
What's happening? I see I'm smiling today, so there must be money. There's money.
Not really. I'm just on a short break today. So. Yeah, that's why I'm smiling. Like, once in a while, you need to take a day off or 2 days off.
True.
It's just that we don't have money to travel. You know,
It's lying.
By the way, Lagos, Sadiq is going on leave soon, so just know. We are trying to stop him, though, but he's going on leave soon.
It's not going to
towards that.
Yes, we deserve it. It's been a while. I've not gotten the opportunity to relax my mind.
And you're going to expand or work on your rentable service.
Now you're talking. We have to expand our business opportunities. But truly, though, I'm actually going to start doing a couple of things. I've decided that I must enter the buying and selling business. It's something that I must do.
There was an incredible article on Metrics on Monday.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it sometime in general, but I think the guys just did something else again and did a lot more research, and it came up with 15 major side hustles that you can do.
This is on Naira Metrics right now.
Yeah, right now. It's there. Like, you know, 15 side hustles that you can do.
Give us some examples. Like, just one or two.
Serious stuff.
Let me get my notes and my pen.
You know, like, and the article comes with, you know, how much you can make from
each of these side hustles. Side hustle,
yeah.
Okay. So does it also tell you how much you need to put in?
Probably this.
But anyways, let's start what we can make.
Something that you need to put a lot
of money into.
Yeah, okay. You can just start them.
All right.
Maybe towards the end of the show, we'll go through them.
You don't want to go through now.
Wait till the end of the show to listen to it.
Really?
So, yeah. But in the world of money,
what's going on?
I hope you did you get to buy the FGN savings bond? I think they had one out yesterday.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, so if you're, you know, someone looking to invest in FGN savings bond, you can do that. Oil price.
Reaching about $60.
Below $60, by the way.
What exactly is going on? I mean, we had projections throughout this year that was going to be on the up and up thanks to what's happening in Iran.
That was exactly what we thought.
So what's going on?
Sadiq, the main triggers are that the US is pumping a lot of oil currently, which is what cost it the last time.
Yes.
And then so a lot of investors thought that because of the Iran ban, sanctions
imposed by Saudi US, Arabia,
that, you know, that was gonna maybe like back up
and the prices,
rising oil prices, right?
So
but that didn't happen. So the US kind of like gave Iran a leeway, right? So they said that, well, despite the ban, there are some countries that can still buy oil from Iran.
So that's risky, I think China's one of those countries.
So like, and then investors
same
like
same China that they're having the trade war with.
Well, like, if these countries can still buy from Iran, then there's no issues now.
Yeah. And
like, Iran is still doing well. So that means supply is still there. And America was a bit smart about it because if you ban Iran from selling oil completely, then there's going to be a spike in oil price, and that's going to have a backlash in the U.S. economy.
Their gas prices will go up.
So
true.
Trump thought he was smart and decided to give Iran some new. And they're also saying that Khashoggi
issue was Saudi.
And one of the reasons why the U.S. also didn't you know,
yeah, obviously
Trump didn't hammer.
It will cripple the American economy because if they did.
Look, you know, what's that his name again?
Well, who?
Crown Prince.
Oh yeah, yeah, Salman.
Nickname
just,
like
just,
that.
Just call him the Crown Prince.
No, he has a nickname actually.
Yeah, Prince Salman.
Is he KSM or whatever?
Oh yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
So he's got a good relationship with Donald Trump.
Yes.
And he said like, look, dude, you know, we cocked up here and everything. We didn't do well.
Yeah.
You know, so
but
oil price, you know.
Alpha.
You know, you got election coming.
Exactly.
Oil price, yeah.
If you mess with that.
So you know, let's just agree to disagree that let's just agree actually that we messed up. But you can't place sanctions on us.
No, but it would have
else we unleash, we'll just cut oil supply.
Yeah, but
I won't finally cut oil supply,
that's hell for Americans.
That's hell.
Their prices will go up, skyrocket,
skyrocket,
to affect everything.
I mean, like, to think about, like, 2-3 months ago, people were looking at, we're talking about $100
yeah,
oil.
Above, exactly.
I mean, you look like, man, like, Buhari economics was just going to exit with a bounce, you know.
But hey, it's not really.
Well, it's not really helping right now.
Yeah.
So for Buhari, oil prices was $60 at the start of the week.
Yeah.
Benchmark oil prices for Nigeria's 2019 budget was $60. So we already hit it already. So it's not good at all.
Mm.
So, and at the time they set that benchmark oil price was top $70, $80, and we're looking at $100 at that time. So now it's 50. And, you know, Lagos oil price, when oil prices start to drop, good and bad. Good is that subsidy drops. Government doesn't spend a lot on subsidy at all.
But
bad.
We're not getting as much money.
Reserves start to drop, and there's a fear that there might be an exchange rate shock.
Oh, really?
So if things exacerbate, then could just be a little bit of pressure on the exchange rate. Yeah.
So
we're watching that. So watch these things very. Okay. I think we had an article on Iometrics as well
on that.
Yeah, on how this can affect.
Electioneering is going to put pressure on the naira. The oil price is going to put pressure on the naira.
Yeah, yeah.
Christmas is going to put pressure.
Well, Christmas in a way it sort of alleviates because people are coming in here. So, these days there are more Nigerians traveling out for Christmas than us coming
people,
back for Christmas. I think.
So I'll just
I don't have any data to back that up.
Right.
That's
what
I think. Yeah, so that's, and then second very big thing happening in the world today, this week, Bitcoins is losing steam. Like
even still,
yeah, it hasn't even gotten the bottom. Like,
wow.
Yeah, you know, last week we said it was hit $6,000.
Yeah, $6,000.
I think it's below $3,000.
What? You know, it's halved in 1 week.
So it's pretty bad for cryptocurrencies. You gotta be careful if you're still holding those assets. But I mean, track it as well because it's a window of opportunity. I don't think Bitcoin is going anytime soon. And Bitcoin has always had this kind of whirlwind.
With the ups and the downs. Like that.
It will go up and then later. I won't be shocked, surprised if Bitcoin price falls to below $1,000.
Below $1,000
of the year. Yeah, I mean, like, it usually happens. And then maybe in 2 years' time again,
it'll start
again. It's always cyclical stuff.
Are there any factors that are pushing this down? I mean, for oil prices, we can tell it's happening. It's sanctions here and there. That's why this is happening. But with Bitcoin, what exactly is pushing the market down now?
Yeah, so it's demand and supply. You know, everything in business is demand and supply. So what you got to ask yourself is, what exactly is driving demand and what exactly is driving supply? So if you know what they are, then it's pretty easy to figure out why. So that's the most difficult part. Nobody really knows what's driving. But I think Bitcoin demand started with some Asian countries that sort of adopted it, or maybe like legalized it. Knowledge about Bitcoins also spread a lot more over the last 2 years, a lot more people. So Bitcoins went at least mainstream 2 years ago. So when it went mainstream, a lot of people thought that, you know, look, this is probably the next
big currency.
And demand started rising, and then the underground world also landed on Bitcoins, and they kind of liked it
because it's not regulated, it can't be traced,
and since it was a medium of exchange, it was pretty good. But you know, there was always something wrong with Bitcoin. Bitcoin, at the end of the day, its value really should be that it's a medium of exchange, right?
Yes.
So because it's still not a medium of exchange, so people lose track of something. Like Naira or dollar, for example, the amount of dollars being exchanged, being used in exchange for goods and services is humongous.
Yes.
Right. So yeah, that's really the underlying value,
of the dollar.
Not
yeah,
necessarily the price of the dollar, right? Ah. So you're mixing the price of the dollar, price of Bitcoins with the value
with
of Bitcoin.
The value
so
of Bitcoin.
How many people were actually transacting Bitcoin?
With Bitcoin.
Yeah, compared to what the value of Bitcoin was.
Okay, I'm understanding this
so,
now.
So that's really the you know, that's the thing. So watch that space. But I mean, cryptocurrencies are here to stay. I think that a better technology probably emerge out of
Maybe if, do you ever see this being regulated? Do you think maybe?
It will be at some point in time. I think that maybe countries might have to come up with their own cryptocurrencies at some point in time.
So it'll then be like currencies because, all over again.
Around the world, nobody, it's just like the way social media is now. People are already thinking of regulating social media. So what happens is that governments, when there's a new technology, government will typically wait and see how that technology pans out, right? They wait for it and see how it pans out. They wait and wait and wait. And then when people start to adopt it and they start to understand it and they start to weigh the social impact of that technology on our lives and all, then regulations pounce. So that's how the internet started. The internet,
nobody would
do whatever you like on the internet. Now, you have sensors and you can do that. You can with phones and places and blah, blah, blah. Now, social media, you can see all the pressure on Facebook and all that.
True.
Because they're beginning to see the bad side of it. So once there's a threat to social life, regulators would usually come in.
So with time, it will happen.
All right, so let's go to the questions.
Yes.
So
questions
that's
for Lagos, the day.
If you've got questions, remember, you want to find out what's more, what's happening in the economy. I mean, just go to Nairametrics.com. We have it covered.
Straight up. Right, let's go to the questions. And this is from Shade from Ogba. It says, hello, Nairametrics. I receive pre-market summary on WhatsApp, but I don't know the implications of the message, especially as I'm considering buying stocks. I would appreciate it if you could break it down.
Oh, yes, as that's good. So you're a subscriber. Remember, you can subscribe to Nairametrics WhatsApp we usually send messages on to our WhatsApp.
So a breakdown of the economy, markets.
It's 0805-104-0390. 0805-104-0390. So pre-market, we usually do that every morning. So if you're into the stock market, the stock market usually opens, I think, 10:30, right?
Okay.
Yeah, every morning. But before 10:30, right, I think 30 minutes before then, there's pre-market. So pre-market is basically people place orders.
Oh.
Right, so think about it. Imagine that you're going to Balogun Market and you want to buy, you know that the first people who land there and the first who buys all the nicest things.
Yeah. So you're looking out price, for what they're going for.
So before people get to the market, you're there early and you've booked. So it's like booking ahead. Or even a hotel.
Yeah.
Right? You want to get to a hotel. You know that the earlier you book for a flight or hotel, the cheaper it is.
Okay.
So you book ahead.
Okay.
So pre-market basically is it's a gauge of what the market might open when it eventually opens, right? So people place orders and say, pre-market shows that, there are 100,000 demand for Zenith Bank stocks, 50,000 demands for... So usually, when you have the pre-market, you have your offers and your bids.
Yeah.
So offers are people who want to buy. Offers are people who want to sell.
Wait.
Bids are people who want to buy.
Yeah. Okay.
So if there are more bids than offers, it means that there's more demand than supply.
Okay.
So most likely prices usually go up. So when you see those pre-market numbers drop on your on your WhatsApp Telegram channel, and you see more bids than offers, then know that stock price might likely open on a higher price.
On a high.
Right.
Okay.
So if you're somebody who has maybe Zenith Bank shares you want to sell, and you see that there are more bids than offers for Zenith Bank shares.
So more demand than
supply.
Then you
can price it higher. You can tell your stockbroker to price higher, or you can place a higher price for it. So that's why pre-markets are very, it's just a gauge of what the market
of what
might look
might
like.
Be at the opening of
but
the
when
market.
You open pre-market and you see there are a lot more offers than bids on an average, that means everybody's dumping.
It's okay, so you know it's going to start. And then follow them and dump.
You don't have to dump at the call, or you just wait, till things change things might change during intraday.
Brilliant. I'm sure a lot of people didn't understand that, but thank you. Thank you for breaking that
down. The market's lovely, incredible stuff.
Very interesting.
We don't miss it.
It's almost like a soap opera. This is from Mama Ejima from Lekki. Says, hello team, please, I need your advice. I'm looking at investing 50,000 in the name of my newborn child, which I guess would be able to get the claims when he turns 20 years. Is there any investment that I can do with this amount, please?
50,000. Is that every with month returns or on, every, just one off?
Well, it doesn't say if it's every month. Just as I'm looking at investing 50K in the name of the newborn child. In which the baby, would be able to get the claims / return on interest when he turns 20 years. What can be done? Isn't that an insurance direction?
Yeah, there are a lot of directions you can go. You can go in mutual fund direction.
Okay.
You can go on your own, right? Do your own investment for your child.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to go the insurance direction, mm-hmm. then it has to be some form of annuity. So annuity is that you've got to be contributing regularly.
Okay.
So how it works is, you tell an insurance company that, look, I want to be contributing, let's say, 100K mm-hmm. every month, every year mm-hmm. for the next 20 years.
Okay.
Okay. So if you do 100K every year
mm-hmm.
for the next 20 years, where's that calculator? 100 times 20 is 2 million, right?
Yeah.
So in 20 years, you want your child to have 2 million. I wonder what 2 million will be worth in 20 years.
That's another thing.
Anyway, so 20 million, 20 years, 2 million, right?
Yeah.
So with an annuity, you tell insurance company that, okay, that's what I'm going to do. So you commit to the insurance company, 100K every year.
Every year, yeah.
Okay, no problem. So every year you write the insurance company a check of 100K.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way it works is, if God forbid you die, even in year 3
mm-hmm.
or year 4, your child mm-hmm. will get that 2 million in 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's,
really?
That's basically life insurance.
Okay.
So, and you can do stuff like that, either for school fees, whatever it is. So people take life insurance policies on life insurance policies, usually taking on your loved one, somebody that you need to go, people that you're going to leave behind. So, you take life insurance policy. So that's why, you know, all these movies you watch in the US, where they just go, kill the person, collect your life insurance and all that stuff. Yeah.
Stop giving people ideas.
Yeah, no, please don't do that. Though. It's not good.
It doesn't work out.
But basically, life insurance is, that's basically life insurance policy. Yeah. So you can take that out. That's what you can do for your child. I'll suggest that's what you do.
That's the safest bet, really.
Yeah, I think so. So the only thing is that, and just rest assured that that's the money you're going to get.
Yeah.
And then you hope that insurance company will be there anyway.
Oh, yeah, at that time as well.
Yeah, at that time. But I mean, most insurance companies have been there for years. So annuity is something that they do very well. And annuity, like insurance, that kind of insurance is for an insurance company that offers a life insurance.
Okay.
Yeah, there's life, there's non-life.
Okay.
So non-life insurance are like, you want to insure your motor vehicle, your house.
Okay,
non-life.
Okay. That's non-life.
So life is insuring people. Insuring against death, against, you know, things like workman compensation and stuff like that.
So interesting.
You can do like, I think we do life insurance.
Yeah.
You can do mutual fund too, though. Just like mutual fund. If you die, nothing is, whatever it is that is there.
It's there. Yeah. Regardless.
So mutual fund is that you just be, you know, contributing. But if it's just one off 50K and see what's going to get you in 20 years. Well, you have to work out whatever return you're looking for.
And then factor
that in over years. By the way, there's a tool we have on Nairametrics.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably going to go live on December 1.
Oh, nice.
Apps.nairametrics.com. So you can go there and do all your calculations yourself.
Oh, for real?
Things like that. Just a simple tool, even for treasury bills. If I invest 100,000 in treasury bills,
how much can
at
I
this percent, what
that
would I
is
get?
Innovative.
And stuff like that. Yeah,
like
so
that.
You can get that on apps and Nairametrics.
Let me bring my own business acumen to the table now. What do you mean by that? I can't innovate now.
Next question, please.
All right, fine, this one is from Kujo from Makoko. Says that the MPC meeting held last week, can you narrate the implication of 14% MPR and CRR at 2.25% and unchanged liquidity ratio on my welfare as an average salary earner and the economy at large?
This is some sophisticated question.
This person is very silly.
I think you might want to just repeat that question.
Yes.
So at least those guys get it right.
Okay, like, the MPC meeting. First off, what was the MPC meeting?
Monetary Policy Committee meeting.
Now, that meeting held last week. Can you narrate the implication of 14% MPR, and MPR is?
monetary policy rate.
Okay. And the CRR, which is?
Cash reserve requirement or cash reserve ratio.
Ratio at 2.25 and unchanged liquidity ratio on my welfare as an average salary earner and the economy at large. So what are these numbers?
So let's split it, Lagos. So every month or periodically, mostly every month or every other month, the central bank has this, they have this monetary policy committee. So some very smart guys, you know, in the central bank and some guys who are nominated by the presidency.
Okay.
Those guys sit together and decide what monetary policy direction the economy is going to take.
Okay.
So, and one of the most important things they do is they set interest rates that banks, you know, can, you know, borrow money from the CBN, you know, at and which how much they can offer lend money to the CBN, like the minimum. So, and it's been 40% for the last 2 years.
Okay.
So what does 40% mean? 40% means that, so for banks, if they want to lend you money, they say, okay, MPR plus X percentage.
Uh-huh. So that's 14%.
So most times banks will say 14% MPR plus 10%. Right. Ooh. So for personal loans, it can be MPR plus 12%. So MPR plus 12% is like 30%.
30%. Oh yes.
Yeah, so 26%. Right. You're right. 26%.
Okay.
Some even do MPR plus 16%.
Wow.
That's 30%.
Okay.
Right. Loans, like we've seen loans like that. So, but mostly it's MPR plus 10%. Okay. Right. So that's like average lending rate.
Mm-hmm.
So the lower the MPR, the lower the interest rate that you earn.
Yeah. Well, not
right.
Naturally.
So MPR also means that treasury bills rate usually hovers around that MPR rate as well.
Ah.
So either a lot higher or slightly lower.
Okay.
And MPR is also driven by an inflation rate. So inflation rate is below 12% now. So MPR is slightly higher.
Higher than that.
So, but the government has, the CBN has kept MPR that high because they feel like they don't want banks to lend money a lot. They don't want a lot of naira in the economy.
In the economy.
Which is kind of counterintuitive because people are like, look, people should lend us money so that we can do business so that the economy can grow.
Yeah.
But the CBN is saying, look, that on the fiscal side, which is not under their control, that's government and all that, you know, there's not a lot of stuff going on there. So they're trying to kind of protect the economy. And everything here boils down to the FX.
Okay.
So at 14%, so it impacts you now, you know, because it impacts you in a number of ways. But the most important way is that your lending rate is high. So if you're borrowing, then you're paying high. But if you're investing, then it's kind of good if you have money to invest. So that's MPR. Now, the cash reserve requirement, it's just it also speaks to lending as well. So they're basically telling banks that for every for all the deposits you have, there's a certain percent. I think it's, is it how much was that?
22.5%
of it has to you can't touch it. So imagine that, like a bank like maybe First Bank has about 3 trillion in deposits. So God would say 22.5% of it, you're not going
to
lend.
Be fixed. You can't lend. Fixed.
Yeah, you can't lend to anybody. So, what that means is that liquidity in the economy reduces, right? So, government uses that as a way to control inflation.
So, mop up.
Right. So, just mop up cash.
Yeah. And
so that because the less cash you have in the economy, the less likely you can have inflation.
True.
The less likely you can have a lot of naira going after dollars.
Dollars. True.
Okay. So,
true.
You can also, so it also helps stabilizes the exchange rate. So that's why it's called monetary policy tightening.
Okay.
So it's like tightening your belt.
So the belt.
They're basically
so make sure
tightening. So they're telling banks that, well, you can't go beyond that. Banks say, but if you also know that a lot of banks have probably lent a lot of money. So these days, like last year, banks, in terms of net growth, loan book growth, they were negative.
Oh, wow.
Right. They've been negative. In fact, banks have actually pushed more money into treasury bills than even
that
lending
actually
to the
lending.
Economy. So that's why when you see economy dropped tight. It's job tight anyhow. This is what happens because it means that they can't lend money to a Sadiq.
Yeah.
So if they can't lend money to a Sadiq can't create jobs.
Create jobs
a
for other people.
Can,
yeah.
Like,
can't grow his
expand
business.
His business.
Yes.
So Sadiq can't have money to go to Dubai and go and enjoy himself.
We'll have a staycation.
That's
it's all right.
Happens,
we can bring Dubai to Lagos.
My God, it's almost 8 already.
I know, jeez. Right? Do we have time for more? Just one more? No, but that was a heavy question and a half. But I hope it's...
liquidity ratio on the other hand is just, I mean, that's not going to that. That's too technical.
Yeah. Before we go and give someone nosebleed. Right. Another question here this morning. Says, I'm making money in Lagos traffic. Now, I love this question. Says, I once met a pure water seller who makes a profit of 10,000 before dark on a daily basis. I would love to hear the money money team discuss this lucrative business? I would love to hear it.
A decade ago, my bro, like, I used to work in the company of Afriwani then. And there's this guy I used to buy a recharge card from. And I forgot, what's he calling? Papa. Yeah, okay. Papa. And Papa walks up to me and I'm buying a recharge card. I was like, this thing you do, I can't tell you. You know what? Why don't we just get you something here to do? Maybe like, maybe a cleaner or...
And Papa said, no, thank you very much.
You're my brother. No, I don't care. Like, why? Is it, this money that they make, and I make the food pay me.
Hey!
Like, they carry build house.
What? With recharge cards.
Dude.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
He was street hawking, and that's what he uses to take care of his siblings in his village. And he's even building a house.
Just think, that's average 200K per month.
I mean, like, you know, the thing is that I don't even think it's more of what they make. It's actually how low their cost is. Like,
because they're running a shop,
probably living in a house, probably living on the bridge, they probably don't take their bath for 2 days, probably wear the same shirt and the same trouser.
So you don't have to spend that much.
Yeah, and then food alone, maybe it's 100 bucks a day and that kind of stuff. So it's not really, street hawking is actually not good. Yeah, I mean, like,
illegal.
I had an argument with some guy on there, and his point was that, look, that if you stop street hawking, then what? You're just that's just a recipe for revolution.
Because you're not.
Yeah, because people are just gonna, you know, go. People will start looking for someone else.
I really think.
Yeah, I should make a lot of money for it, but I think we'll delve into it.
Yeah, we'll do more. We'll do more next week.
Dad's exciting is around next week.
We're around. Don't worry. This topic will have to enter us because me to also enter straight. I might do it for a while. I'm not even kidding. I might actually just to find out.
I had a friend who tried it once. He was bus conductor. He did it once.
No, I want to do this. I want to be on the roads. I want to see if there's anything innovative I can do.
No, I'm not just trying.
Wouldn't want to know if there are new ways or interesting ways of actually doing this that can be profitable, can be different? Because everyone is just holding things on the road. What if you have like a sandwich board or you have music? You know, just I'm interested in seeing if there you can take that to the next level. No, I shouldn't have said that. But anyways.
Next level.
Yeah, I know. People now are like, Right. Final words for the beautiful people of Lagos.
All right, Lagos. So thanks for listening in. I mean, you can always check our site. We've got a lot of interesting financial literacy and investing stuff. www.nairametrics.com. I think I already called out the phone number.
Yes.
Follow us on social media at Nairametrics. Any social media that you're on, except all those chats.
Right, fantastic.
Anyway, send us your questions and we'll have it here on the show. Thank you, Sidi.
Fantastic. We'll be here again next week discussing more, taking more of your questions. Everyday Money Matters will continue. But do keep listening to Lagos Talks 91.3. Money.